The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Y's. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months, and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies, Baby. Every week on Movies, Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies, Baby, wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies, Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies, Baby with 5 Y's. Movies, Baby!
Hey, guys.
Hey, guys.
We're really excited to be making this announcement. We are moving to a new network.
You're damn right we are. And that network is called Forever Dog. You may be familiar with the network because it has awesome podcasts such as Treks in the City, which is a podcast by ladies about Star Trek Next Generation. It has Las Culturistas.
I'm so excited that we're joining a network that has a group of such awesome, diverse voices. I'm ready for it, girl. I'm here for it.
Yes. So check out their podcast right now. We will be officially on the network next week when we will be reading Starlight Crystal. And that's perfect because that's the book that started the podcast. That's the book that Kelly and I realized we both loved.
Hey, Lindsay, to new beginnings.
Clink.
Ow. My throat. You broke my glass.
I'm so sorry.
You're so strong.
Oh, I am. Strong women.
The girl on the carton was an ordinary little girl. This week on the podcast, Caroline B. Cooney's The Face on the Milk Carton.
Hi, welcome to Teen Creeps, the podcast that discusses YA pulp fiction. I'm one of your hosts, Lindsay Kaytai.
I'm another one of your hosts, Kelly Nugent.
And today, Caroline B. Cooney's very popular The Face on the Milk Carton. Story of a girl who's at lunch and she's obsessed with milk.
Mm-hmm.
So she grabs her friend's milk and then she sees her own face on the milk carton because she was kidnapped at age 3.
Spooky.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I feel like everybody read this book when they were a kid.
Obsessed.
I like remember reading this book in probably 6th or 7th grade. I remember like exactly where I was sitting in the classroom when I would read it. It was, I remember it's a very, like reading this, I was like, oh, I'm in 6th grade again. It had to be 6th grade. Yeah.
That's cool. I don't remember exactly the age I was, but I vividly remember Reeve kissing Janie in the pile of leaves.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
So sexy.
This is a pretty sexy book.
Well,
when she's not looking for her parents.
Okay, so this book is like a ton of her looking for her parents and Reeve being like, but I got a big old boner.
Considering looking for her parents and Reeve going, I've got a big old boner.
Yeah.
So Janie Johnson is 15. She wants to get her driver's permit.
Mm-hmm.
And she's at lunch. She grabs her friend's milk because she's lactose intolerant. She's not supposed to have them, but she grabs it anyway. And she sees her own face as a little girl on the milk carton, thinks she's going insane, looks into it further, realizes it's definitely her because all these memories are returning. She goes upstairs to the attic one day. She finds a trunk of stuff that her parents had set up there. And it's all mementos of a girl named Hannah. She asks her parents who the fuck Hannah is. And they're like, it's your real mom. We're your grandparents. Your mom joined a cult and brought you to us so that we could take care of you. And then she left for the cult again. And she's like, great. I'm so glad that you didn't kidnap me. This is awesome to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And then she wakes up and she's like, that doesn't explain why I was on a milk carton.
Yep.
And then she figures out where the family lives. Her real name's Jenny Spring. She goes and she looks for the Springs in New Jersey, sees a bunch of kids with red hair like her. She's like, oh, fuck, it's real.
Mm-hmm.
And in the midst of all this, the boy next door, Reeve, and her are falling in love and lust. And then the very end of the book is them, Janie, telling her parents what happened. They figure that Hannah, the cult daughter, actually kidnapped her and then brought her to Janie's parents / grandparents. And they decide to call the Springs in New Jersey. And guess what? End of the book.
Mm-hmm. Literally.
We do not know what happens
end of
after
the book.
That. Mm-hmm. How did you feel about that?
I was pissed.
I was so fucking pissed.
I was pissed.
It was like, how long is this book? Let's check. It's too long to do this to us.
Yeah. Well, because, but you're missing that, like, they're
184 pages.
But there's
Jenny
a lot
going, I don't want my parents not to be my parents.
They are my parents. They are.
I choose them. I don't want to think about New Jersey. I can't stop thinking about New Jersey.
Also, I felt like it was kind of a cop-out to have Hannah be the kidnapper.
Just, really?
Yeah, because I think it would be like a little bit more fucked up and maybe too much for like her to deal with her parents' parent, like her.
Sure.
Grandparents being the ones. So It's easier to like shift blame to like this person that's never been in her life.
True.
But
I don't view it as a cop out. I just view it as a different kind of.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it was. I don't think that Caroline B. Cooney was like, I can't have the grandparents be the ones.
I think I like them too much.
Yeah. I think it was just like she made that choice. And I was like, oh, I think maybe because I was so starved for drama. I was like, can we please move things forward?
Absolutely. I'm fine with it not being the parents, but could we please fucking get to the Springs already?
I can only
deal with so much of Janie freaking out about it. If she had freaked out about it in a slightly different way or a more active way, It would have been better, but it was just inner monologue city.
Yeah.
The whole way through.
And it was like, I mean, and I get it, right? Like, sure, you're going to feel like insane if you find out that maybe your parents kidnapped you. Sure. And you're going to be like, what should I think? What should I do? Blah, blah, blah. But I mean, the reason a book is a book and not us literally sitting inside someone's head is that like, we would like to skip.
See things that are going
on. Like, let's just move. Like, you can just say, like, for the next week and a half, she thought about this nonstop. Instead, we are like real time in her head. I will say that Caroline B. Cooney, and I don't know what it is, but she writes in this very like dreamlike quality, which I felt like, I mean,
I think I know what you mean.
Yeah, it feels very like ethereal and weird and nothing is like super concrete.
She is very good at evoking that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you get across what kind of state of mind Janie must have been in. It's just that we stay there for too fucking long.
Yeah, I fell asleep reading this book today.
There you go.
And then I was like, oh shit, I have like 45 minutes to finish this book, which is fine. It's more than enough time. But
luckily, I was reading it on my lunch hour at work yesterday. And
nice.
Thank you.
Can we talk about, okay, first thing I wanted to talk about, because we touched on it.
Mm-hmm.
So Janie's lactose intolerant.
Yes.
She wants that milk.
Oh my God. She's fucking obsessed with milk. She
nuts
will
over
not
this milk.
Shut the fuck up about milk.
In fact, I highlighted a part because it made me want to barf everywhere. Everybody but Janie Johnson got milk. Mm-hmm. Cardboard cartons so small you needed at least three, but the lunch ladies would never let you. Janie was envious. Those Luckies are swigging down nice, thick, white milk, she thought, and I'm stuck with cranberry juice. And I was like, that
is the most disgusting description of milk I've ever heard.
The most pornographic, disgusting description of milk.
Like, look. I like milk more than the next person.
I like milk great. I like milk great.
I'm a milk fan.
Here's the thing. It makes my stomach not super awesome if I drink a full glass, sure.
I'm fine.
Yeah. I mean, it's the Asian thing for me.
But the Asian thing.
The Asian thing.
Yeah. That's definitely a stereotype that I knew.
Mm-hmm. That we don't really dig milk very much.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my phone turned Siri on. So here's what it's got going.
I typed that I knew that we don't really dig hayek.
Oh my God. That sounded like a racist person pretending to be Asian.
We weren't saying anything like that.
No, we weren't.
Yeah, but to refer to it as nice, thick, white milk.
Thick, strong, ropey milk. I'm gonna vomit. So gross.
There were so many passages about her loving milk, though.
No, she could not shut up about this milk. And so she eventually gets the milk. And I'm sure that in the next book, there's something about how her whole family's lactose intolerant. I'm sure.
I bet there's not. I bet there isn't.
Am I giving Caroline B. Cooney too much credit?
I think she just is lactose intolerant. It happens.
It does happen. I also wanted to talk about, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Are you pro or anti Reeve?
Most of the book, pro.
Mm-hmm.
For a page, anti.
Okay. I'm wondering if it's the same.
I'm guessing yes. I cannot imagine either of us being okay with that page.
Okay. Is it when he like yells at her that she needs to let go of this thing and tells her she's acting crazy?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it when he tries to take her to a motel and fuck her in the motel? Even though she does want to have sex.
Not that one. Oh, I'm surprised it actually isn't the page I was thinking of.
What are you thinking of? Maybe I'll remember.
Let me find it. I get it.
Is it when she says, I love you? And then
she says it twice and he does not say it back. And yet he is so much more clingy.
Well, the first time she says, I love you, his response is to insinuate that she was abused by her biological family. She says, I love you, Reeve. And he says, maybe they were mean to you in New Jersey.
I will say that it does suck for Reeve because he'll be talking about himself and be carrying on a conversation. And then out of nowhere, Janie will be like, do you think they're nice? The people in New Jersey? And it's like, were you not listening to a word I said?
Yeah.
How, like, are we not in the same car right now? I understand that this is very hard, but like you could have, don't pretend that you're not, like, don't, if you're not listening, then tell me that you're not listening. So I'm not talking to myself. It's embarrassing. But here's what I hated. You know Megan and Lizzie and Todd, said Janie. You grew up with them. I didn't grow up with my brothers and sisters. Do you think they ever talk about me at supper or keep my picture on the wall or say to each other, she'd be a sophomore in high school now? I'm sure they do, said Reeve. He was kissing her everywhere. He had unbuttoned nothing, was feeling her through the fabric.
Oh,
his mind was definitely not on New Jersey. One bad thing is still true, though, said Janie, starting to cry. What? He kissed her tears and she kissed his lips, tasting the salt of her own weeping. I'm still a rotten little kid who wanted more attention and was willing to be kidnapped to get it. Reeve laughed. You can't have been too rotten if they're advertising on milk cartons to get you back. We're both frantic, she thought. His heart is racing for me.
My heart is racing for fear. His heart on.
His heart on is racing for me. His heart is racing for me. My heart is racing for fear, she said. There are only two choices. Right. Either we do it or we don't. I vote we do it. Wrong. Either I get in touch with New Jersey or I don't. I vote I don't. So like, she's in the middle of talking about, like, do you think my real family misses me?
Yeah.
The way I see it, there are only two choices. And he's like, right, we either fuck or we don't.
Well, and that was my issue. That was totally my issue because it was like, I felt like
that is not what we're talking about right now.
No.
No.
I felt like the whole time, like every time that she would like lapse out of paying attention to him and would be thinking about other things is because he never gave her a chance to even talk about it to begin with. Like, when she first started talking about it, he was like, I guess. And he does take her to New Jersey. That's true.
He does it because he doesn't realize that's what he's doing.
He thinks they're doing a romantic getaway.
Yeah.
But like,
which, again, this sucks for him.
It totally
does. He keeps thinking
does.
That something is starting.
But that's because he doesn't Janie bother
like,
to
yep,
think
we're doing
about
it.
Her.
And then now and then he is not thinking about her. And then now and then she is not thinking about him.
Right. I mean, they're maybe just not right for each other.
But
it's a wrong time.
Every time she brings, he should know that she needs to talk about it. But on the other hand, if we are sick of hearing Janie talk about it in her head and we just want her to make a decision, I can't imagine how Reeve feels.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I was annoyed because it seemed like he was so dismissive of like he was just like, I don't know why you're like fixating on this.
Yeah. Where he didn't even want to entertain the possibility.
Yeah.
That first it was real. And then when it was clearly real, the idea of like going to somebody about it.
Yeah.
Until the end when he's like, you tell your parents.
Yeah.
Or I'm not speaking to you until you tell your parents.
Yeah.
And then she's like, fine, we're done. And he's like, okay. But that isn't what he said to her.
No.
He was just like, I
took
can't
it.
See you until you speak to your parents.
But also like, I felt like
but then he started dating somebody immediately.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Yeah. And he was like parading that girl around. And also like, I felt like he could have done that. And I know that they're teenagers, right?
Yeah.
So they're just like ids. They don't, he's not thinking like we would be thinking about it where it's like, all right, you know what? Like empathize with another person, like tell that,
like
support
see
them
things from their point of view.
And also like, I think my Slytherin stripes are showing, but like, just like, you know, the solution you want, which is them to shut the fuck up about this milk carton thing. So like help them through this and tell them that you'll support them no matter what. And then they'll get through with it. And you don't have to listen to it anymore.
But he did tell her that. And she
towards
just wasn't
the end,
deciding.
She wasn't.
Well, he was going along. It wasn't like he was like, do this thing, do that thing.
Well, he was
he
like.
He was like, well, what do you want to do? A lot. Wasn't he?
I don't remember him doing. I remember her. But again, I was in a weird ethereal dream state when I was reading this. So I don't know.
But it did seem like she would say something. And she was just like wondering aloud. And then he would kind of be like, okay, yep, let's forget New Jersey. Mm-hmm. She'd be like, or should I tell them? And he's like, well, here's what would happen if you did that. Oh, but I don't want to. I like my parents. He's like, yeah, I like your parents too. So like all of it felt to me like he was responding to her.
I don't think he was
equipped
just the moment right.
When he would be like, oh, I thought we were going to have sex and you keep talking about New Jersey.
I know. Those are the parts that really drove me nuts.
He's like, Reeve, you're being a monster.
Also, like, I get that he has problems. I get that he feels like he can't measure up to his brothers and sisters. But, like, I don't know.
The problem is that's pretty trivial when compared to Janie. And at the same time, like, that's what he's working through.
Yeah.
And he can't. It's like, just because it's not North Dakota doesn't mean that it doesn't get cold in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Like there are different degrees of cold, but it's still cold. There are different degrees of sad, but it's still sad. So it's like, I understand that that really bothers him and it informs his personality, but he's just got to recognize that it's save it for after the kidnapping stuff, dude.
Yeah. And I guess that's the thing, right? Where it's like maybe an adult Reeve would be able to like, frame what he's talking about in a different way too.
Yeah,
rather
I can
than
see
just,
him growing into that role.
Yeah, like then being like, look, I know that this like probably doesn't seem, you know, whatever, but like this is something that's bothering me and I'd like to talk it out with you. As opposed to just talking and then like getting frustrated when she's like, sorry. Like,
sorry, I wasn't listening.
I wasn't listening because I was thinking about the fact that my parents were kidnapped me. and he's like,
Is that out of line? It's just, I couldn't stop thinking about how I saw my own photo on a milk carton.
And, okay.
Is that crazy?
I don't know. I couldn't really get over it. Another thing that bugged me was that he was like, so she's like, I must have been so terrible to leave my family for an ice cream. And he never once is like, you were fucking three. Like,
no, he does that.
No, he's just like, oh, well, you couldn't have been that bad if they were looking for you on
No. I mean, in that moment, that's what he does. Mm-hmm. But later, he's like, stop beating yourself up.
I don't remember him doing that. Was I
a nice lady? Probably, because he definitely
Dang.
Said that.
I'm sure it's like when the whole family's like, together towards the end.
You were 3 years old. You grew up in a big family. You probably weren't ever the center of attention.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This really nice lady. She buys you a Sunday.
He does say that. I take it back.
And then she takes you on a fun drive and you meet new people and they're buying you all these clothes. You were three.
Wait a second. Does he say that to her or is he, or is it in her? Because I remember there's a part in which maybe he does say it to her later, but I remember there being a part where he's like so excited to be talking to her and getting all this attention from her. And she's like, I see now, you know, everyone just wants to be the center of attention. That's it.
Yeah.
And I guess I wanted to be the center of attention. And so I guess that's why I went out. And it like, which, it all happens internally.
Yeah. And gets at why I'm so annoyed by this book is that she already realizes that.
Yeah.
Why do we have to live through that again? Like again and again and again mm-hmm. and again.
Yeah, her friends are pretty shitty too.
None of them
ask her if she's okay.
None of them realize that she's like truly going through something.
Like there's one teacher that's like, hey, is everything okay? Because like no one is in the classroom right now.
And everyone left and you are sitting there.
You're scribbling some kind of manifesto. I don't know what's going on. Ugh.
I did, for all that I'm like, my complaint is with Caroline B. Cooney mm-hmm. of just continuing to write the same inner monologue over and over again. However, I really like Janie.
Yeah, I like Janie too.
Yeah.
I think she's
funny. I get
what she's going through.
At the beginning of the book when she's saying she used to of all, she is trying to change. She thinks her name, Janie Johnson, is too boring, which is a good way to start it off because she's like, she wants to be somebody else. She finds out she is somebody else. And then she realizes that she wants to be Janie Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
So she's trying to change her name to Jane Johnstone
mm-hmm.
with two Y's in Jane.
Mm-hmm.
J-A-Y-Y-N-E.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, do you have an aspiring porn star? career.
She also like, but that's the thing, right? She's so relatable because like we've all like, I remember thinking certain names were so cool.
Yeah.
And
did
like,
you try to give yourself a different name?
No.
Or like, I would change it to this.
No, but I remember having like really dumb kids' name ideas mm-hmm. and being like, I think that like, I don't know. I can't even think of a name that I thought was like beautiful.
Well, because she's talking about how she used to fantasize about having two little girls and she would name them Denim and Lace. And I was like, I hate you.
Yeah.
I hate you. But she's saying she would name them Denim and Lace. She used to think about Denim and Lace all the time, shopping at the mall with Sarah Charlotte. She'd go into all the shoe stores to play with the little teeny sneakers for newborns. And think of all the pretty clothes she'd buy one day for Denim and Lace. And I was like, oh my God, I hate you, Janie. But then the very next paragraph, now she knew those names were nauseating. And if she did name her daughters Denim and Lace, there'd probably be a divorce. And her husband would get custody on the grounds anybody who chose those names was unfit.
Yeah,
I like,
love
oh,
that.
Oh, good.
She's very self-aware. And she is funny. And also, like, Caroline B. Cooney is so... And this is something we're seeing with a lot of our female writers, which is like they just know how to be in the head of a
girl. Yeah.
And, it's like when she's in the library looking through all the newspapers and stuff. And then Reeve comes up and she says Janie was so aware of his maleness.
Yeah.
Like that is so relatable, like
yeah.
that where you're just like, oh my God,
there's a boy here,
a man next to me. And it's just like the fact that a man is standing that, you know what I mean? Like a boy
yeah.
is standing that close
to
you.
Talked about this before, but one time, the very beginning of dating Mike, he and I got high and we watched a Tom Selleck movie called Runaways.
Mm-hmm.
And I barely remember what it's about because I was high.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow it was like, the 13-year-old in my mind got called
oh my gosh.
Forward. And all she could think was, oh my God, there's a boy here. And that was all I could think about for the whole movie of just like the realness that I, Lindsay Casey, would be with a boy watching a movie.
Yeah.
Because my 13-year-old self took over.
Yep.
And it's not like Mike was the first person I dated. It was just this very weird thing happened in my mind because of the pot.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like that is such a relatable thing. And I remember just like sitting in, I think it was on a school bus to go somewhere for a field trip. And I ended up having to sit next to this guy. And it was just like, I was just like, there's a boy next to me. There's a boy next to me. There's a boy. And I wasn't even I didn't have feelings for him. I didn't have any like, but the fact that there was a boy sitting next to me was like, I was like, holy shit. Like, and I think at one point, like
right there.
Well, at one point, I think our elbows touched and I was like, oh my God. I was like, stop the bus.
I've made physical contact
through jackets, but they touched. So I felt like there was like a lot of that there. And like her like desiring Reeve. And I mean,
She's
very confident,
which that is not relatable, but I respect.
Yeah, I respect it.
Like at one point they're at a football game. And she starts feeding him cake.
Oh my God. Okay.
I was like,
and her whole family's there. And his family's
baller.
There. Okay. Also, okay. So they go to this, what's it called? Like tailgating thing. And it's like her parents, Reeve and his parents, and then Sarah Charlotte and her parents. And in front of everybody.
Like, it's insane. It's an insane thing to do.
I would not do that now. Like I wouldn't do that.
That'd be fucking weird.
Also like disgusting because she mentions she does it with
that
her hands.
So cutesy.
It's so like teen dream, like nothing can touch us, kind of like all I see is you sort of thing.
But I loved that about it. I was like, yeah, you feed that cake to Reed.
Yeah.
You show him who's boss.
Like
show everyone around you that something has begun.
Well, and I mean that was kind of like their coming out about their like relationship. Or flirtation or whatever it was. And even like she's like with every single bite, like his lips and tongue were like touching her fingers to like lick off the frosting. And I was like,
fucking insane.
I was like, damn. You is he gonna follow that up with some thick white milk? It was like the most
in
sexual.
Yes.
Gross. What would you do if you were hooking up with a guy and then he and he was like, are you ready for some milk?
I would break up with him. That is terrifying.
What if I'm gonna put it to you this way.
I mean, if that happened in college, I would have been like, what did you just say?
Okay, what if it's not prior, it's what if it's not sexy talk?
Okay Uh-huh.
And let's say that there is like an ejaculation situation.
Okay.
And then he's like, oh, I gotta like clean up my milk. What would you do?
Well, you just saw me do it, which is to go. I would do that. I don't know if it would emerge out loud.
I would
certainly do that either inwardly, possibly outwardly. I would let him do it. I would stay the rest of the night. And then the next day I would be like, oh, you know, it's just really not what I'm looking for right now.
What if you let it just stay as a little seed inside of your heart? And then you just like waited and you guys dated for like 2 years. And then you had a horrible breakup. Yeah, you have a horrible breakup. And
okay.
One of the things is like, you fucking called your semen milk.
Like right when we were dating and I said, fuck all, but you won't go to dinner with my parents?
Fuck you and fuck your milk. What else? Oh, can we talk about the librarian, Mr. Yampolsky?
Sure.
The cool librarian.
The super helpful
librarian. He's so chill.
Real chill.
He's everybody's best buddy.
Yes.
He never gave attention to boys who stood on the library tables using newspapers for wings while they played Superman.
No.
He never yelled at people who had forgotten how to use the card catalog. He never suggested you should peruse the Wall Street Journal when what you wanted to do was look at movie stars in Teen Magazine. "Hey, Janie babe," he said. "How's mom?"
And then he's like, "She makes restocking or whatever the fuck worthwhile now that your mom helps me."
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, "Oh. Well, this is a whole separate book." Mm-hmm. This guy's like, having a whole separate book in his mind.
This guy.
We just checked in on a sad book that the librarian is living.
Yes. I feel like
that's a pretty funny idea, though. He goes home at night and he thinks of Miranda.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what the fake name is that she gave herself, if we ever even knew. Mm-mm. And he thinks of Miranda and he's like, maybe tomorrow, like when we're down in the stock room, what if our hands grazed one another? Like, do you think, like, does she feel the heat? Does she feel the heat too?
There's electricity there. I know it. I know it.
Microwave this lean cuisine. Like,
yeah.
I just don't know. Like, does she feel something? Because I feel it. Meanwhile, Miranda's like, "Oh my God, you were kidnapped." He has no idea how traumatic poor Miranda's life is. He's like, "I wonder if our hands will touch when we're filing." She's like, "Oh my God, are we felons?"
You know, I love like the idea of cutting back and forth, or maybe even a split screen of him like folding his laundry and then just being like, I just wonder. And then her being like, "Ah,
no,
Hannah,
how could I have stolen someone else's child?" And he's like, she made that really funny joke about the Dewey Decimal System.
He's like, "Dewey Decimal.
I feel like we're really on the same wavelength. I'm going to talk to her tomorrow. I'm not going to do anything crazy, but I'm going to talk to her. I'm going to do it.
Like, don't run away. Don't get in a cult. Please.
Hare Krishnas."
Okay.
Hare Krishnas stole my baby.
I actually forgot how this book like resolves, or it doesn't resolve, but how the book ends.
Right.
So as I was reading it, like I remembered like passages, but I didn't remember the plot. So I was like, first of all, I was like, these parents, I think they kidnapped her. And then I was like, this cult story sounds fake as fuck.
It does sound fake as fuck. I remembered it. I didn't remember it being a cult.
Mm-hmm.
I remembered it as being that she was a drug addict and that she was just like a vagrant.
Yeah.
Like just going from like one meth den to another.
Uh-huh.
You know, that term that people use for meth
dens.
A meth den.
Yeah.
You know, it goes opium den, meth den,
cocaine den, marijuana den.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just thought I had a lot of.
I still think it's drugs.
I think it is drugs. I think it's coded for that.
Mm-hmm. So I do remember people being freaked out by Hare Krishnas. And when it got brought up, I was like, "Ooh, bully."
Yeah, I remember that too.
At the end, Reeve is like, "I know it started as like a peaceful movement and then it got like corrupted here in the States and people got like wrapped up in it like a cult."
Mm-hmm.
I was like, "Oh, thank God."
Yeah. I mean, like,
I was really afraid that nobody was ever going to call out the fact
that they were just saying like Hare Krishnas.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, "Ooh, good."
Yikes.
Yeah, I did appreciate that. But it was, it
took
just
a while though.
Also, there were just like so many red flags that kept popping up with the dad, which, I mean, I don't know. I think I was looking for the parents to be creepy.
Uh-huh.
So like there are a bunch of parts where the dad keeps like wrapping Janie's hair around his own wrist and like brushing his face with her hair. But everyone is obsessed with her hair. So
I liked her friend Sarah Charlotte saying, "You have serious hair."
Loved that. So then I was like, okay, Kelly, like that's just a normal affection. You're just looking for him to be a kidnapper.
The problem with a lot of these things is I don't know what normal fatherly affection looks like. So sometimes I am reading into it too much and sometimes I'm not seeing the obvious signs.
Okay. Well,
so I can't decide on this one.
I'm like normal adjacent relationship with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Cause that's the thing. If I saw
I don't know.
Cause if I saw one of my friends, like when I was like in a kid and her dad just did that, I wouldn't think anything of it. But I think looking back, my dad just doesn't like...
He doesn't have an affectionate, a physically affectionate dad.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It's hard to say.
Yeah. So I'm like, I think when I think of other people's dads, I'm like, maybe. And then if I think of my dad, I'm like, ugh, gross.
But like, I don't even do that to my sister. I don't like grab her hair and just start twirling it.
Like literally wrapping it around your wrist, which is a weird thing.
I don't know. At least it's like far.
It is far.
Because that could be just like a teasing thing. Just like yank it, kiddo.
Yeah. 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 And then there's like that part where he brushes his own face with it. And then like.
I missed that part. That weirds me out a bit.
That was weird. He like grabs it and brushes his face.
This is the problem is I don't know what
I think
normal
that's weird.
Looks like.
I think that's weird.
Okay. Let's settle on weird.
I think that one was weird. So then I was like, oh shit, did the parents actually kidnap her?
I remembered that they didn't. So I can't
bless
relate
your heart.
To your analyzing.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever thought they did it when I read it the first time either. Because I was in, you know, a state of mind where it's like, oh, I'm being told that they're nice.
Yeah.
So they are nice.
Yeah. Also, like, well, and then another part was like, when she finds the chest marked H and it has like all of Hannah's stuff in it, which is their daughter, I was like, oh, their daughter died and they stole her. But then.
Which is what she thinks.
Yeah.
When she's like, oh, right. The milk carton. After they tell her the Hannah story.
Yeah. You know what? I think I'm coming around. And I think that for the parents, the story is more interesting if they didn't realize that their daughter kidnapped her, because then it's like, it's more of an ethical dilemma as opposed to them just being like evil and having stolen her.
I think it's, and then there's, because otherwise we don't really get the story of Janie having to straddle the two worlds.
Right. Because otherwise
which
you would just be like, okay, bye. Yeah. Being
definitely could have happened in this book, though.
Yeah.
Fucking Jesus.
Also, like, the thing that sucked was, like, for me, the most exciting part is when she's in New Jersey and she's looking
and she
at her house.
Almost fuck. I hear you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was like, let's get through that.
Get
I want
to
see
business.
This dude like, fuck a girl that he thinks is 1 year older than she is.
I want to see this dude. Trying to take a 14-year-old girl to a motel.
I want to see it. I want to see that he's fully 18. I want to see that she is aggressively 14 and she looks young and small, which has been told to us many times. I want to see that.
Yeah. I want to follow through. I
want to follow through Cooney. Be brave, Cooney.
Be brave. Live your truth.
Why don't you do what you dream? The thing that I was like most happy and excited with was the parts where they're in Jersey and she's like watching kids come home from school and she's getting these like flashes of memory.
A dog named Honey.
The dog named Honey.
The dad
the
saying
twins,
a prayer.
The dad praying. And then also just her flashes of memory throughout I thought were like cool and like I liked reading them. And so I was like, I wanted to get to what is likely in book two.
Read book two. I don't remember a lot of it.
I heard it's like tackier.
Is it?
That's what somebody said on Twitter.
I feel like it starts to get that way in
or maybe three
on. Because two, my overall, from what I can remember, is just me the whole time going, can you guys step off Janie's junk for 2 fucking seconds? She had nice parents. I'm sorry that you're all real mad that she can't like immediately adjust to being around
you. Oh, they're mad about that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
well, the sister is.
Ugh.
Did you read the preview of
I didn't read the preview.
Starts good. I like it. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to reading the next.
Speaking of people micromanaging other people, I did not need the men policing what women ate, their weight, the dad with the mom.
It seemed to me that he was just calling her out on things that she actually says. She's like, I need to watch my calories.
And that is
like,
true.
It felt to me like he was trying to get her to let go of the fucking calorie thing.
Well, my issue was when he was like, she's like, God, I'm going to lose so much weight with all this whatever. And he's like, yeah, well, you're going to gain it all back with eating all the food that you brought to this picnic. And I was like, all right, son, like you need to step off. Yeah, I just like that kind of like threw me.
Yeah, they're not great. I'm not going to say it's great.
And then I just kind of, when Reeve was like trying to be sexual on her, uh-huh. but then also being like, you've lost weight. Are you like experiencing anxiety? And she's like, yes. And he's like, are you feeling this heat?
Is there something like really between us? I would like to read the part where they kiss in the leaves just because this stuck with me.
By all means.
Forever.
It's time to get a little sexy. Well,
the kiss was long and serious. Serious like my hair, thought Janie. She stared amazed at Reeve's cheek, which was pressed against hers with amazement, and with amazement brought her lips together to kiss him again, to start the second kiss and to choose when to end it. She could feel his heart racing and then felt her own pick up speed and run with his. Very slowly, her hands crept around his face, finding the back of his neck where his hair lay thick over the pulse. His hand, rough surfaced, gently touched her face, moved her hair away. With the pad of his thumb, he traced her profile.
Ha, ha, ha.
As like a 13 or 14.
I know this. Love is true. Oh, it's much. I said love.
You did. You idiot.
Much is true.
Fucking ruined the moment. Yeah. As a 13 or 14 year old.
That's
like,
hot.
Oh my God. That's what kissing's like.
Yeah. No, that there's some serious kissing in this book. And I think that might be part of why this book was such a hit with like, like grades 6 to 9, where it's like, and also there's like danger and like I feel like when you're younger, especially that age, like you don't think to question like why is this taking so long to get to this? You're just like, absolutely all right, next, and then you're like, ooh, a sexy part. And then you're like, ooh, a scary part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or and specifically because you don't know what's coming, it just feels suspenseful.
Yeah.
But it's suspenseful just because nothing is happening and you're going, when will things happen?
Yeah.
But as a kid, you're just like, whoa, what's going to happen?
Yeah. And okay.
Yeah, that's basically why we cover this entire genre.
Yeah.
On this podcast is because it is very, it's like, yeah, grades 6 through 9, you're going like, oh my God, this is so adult.
Yeah, exactly. Also like, I totally felt, so I think Caroline B. Cooney was like, I am going to make, this idea is fucking gold. I'm going to make this into a 10-part series. You don't think so?
No, because she says in the intro, she's like, I plan to leave it ambiguous and just at that. But then I couldn't stop telling Janie's story.
Oh, shit. Because, okay, then I was tricked because it felt.
I mean, that could be a lie. Who knows? But she specifically. I think it took a while for the second book to come out.
Wow.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, I respect it more just as a risk to be like, I'll leave it ambiguous.
Yeah. She kind of didn't want to say what happened.
Right. Like, let us write it in our heads. But it felt like it was very funny because it was like, it seemed like she was planting the seed for like endless sequels when the sister of Reeve.
Lizzie.
Excuse me.
Bless you. Sounded like you were vomiting and sneezing at the same time.
The sister Lizzie is like, you know, this is never going to end. And they're like, is it? And she's like, never. And then then the call happens and it's like, it just ends on hello. And then you're like, hello?
It's me, your daughter, Jenny.
Dude, what a way to start that too. Like, maybe just ease into telling someone that you're their daughter that got stolen. I felt like it ended way too.
How would you deliver it?
I guess I'd be like, hi, may I please speak to Mr. or Mrs. Spring?
Hi. Is Mr. or Mrs. Spring at home?
They'd be like, speaking. And I'd be like, hi. I was calling because I saw your milk carton thing. And then I would say, I'm your daughter. I think I would just do like two sentences as opposed to like, it's me, your daughter. I guess it does jump.
I'm going to do a try now.
Okay.
I'll try.
Hello?
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 Is this Mrs. Spring?
1 second.
Thank you.
Hello?
Hi. Is this Mrs. Spring?
Speaking.
I saw on a
hold
milk
on, you're
going
to have to hold on 1 second. Uh-huh. Can you please leave that in the oven? Hello? I know, just like kids, you know.
That's
just,
okay.
They're so crazy. I could just kill them. Sometimes I just wish that they were all fucking kidnapped. I'm sorry. Hello? Click.
I mean, click. If that's how it went on your end, I am not going to follow through with that.
Click.
It's fine, Mom. It's fine, Dad. They're crazy.
You know what?
I'm you know what? They are glad I'm kidnapped. Okay.
Thank you.
Let's go to another football game. Are you up for cake?
I did like
our
that.
Our long nightmare is over.
I did like that the mom signed them up for cake decorating classes because she thought that they'd be able to like eat cake.
Yeah.
And then it was like they only got to practice on cardboard. And I also liked that too of like the mom like trying to spend time.
So much.
I liked her parents, even though for the first half I thought that they were kidnappers.
Well, I can see how you think you're being like set up.
That's the thing. And I think it's purely, I think, if I were reading this just in a world where we're not doing this podcast, I wouldn't think anything of it. But I think because my parents just sent me a picture of them at
kidnapping a child.
I mean, it's actually a picture of me as a baby on a milk carton. No, it's them going to see. I don't know who they got to take this picture of them. We bought them, Micah and I bought them 6 months of Movie Pass.
Oh, nice.
So they took a picture and it's them. And my mom goes, aww. Star Wars first, of course.
They're so cute.
Yeah. Yep, that's them.
Listeners know, Kelly's parents are, in fact, so cute.
They're very cute and very small.
My mom started sending my sister and I a bunch of old photos and baby photos and class photos and
cute.
Of herself and us. And then a couple really cool, a photo of my grandmother when she was in her 30s and my grandfather sitting sitting on a plane,
mm-hmm.
not inside a plane, but like sitting at a like fighter plane.
Yeah. That's so cool.
You look like a damn movie star.
That's cool. It's weird how sometimes I'll see pictures of my mom when she's like, when she was like in her like 20s and 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And I will literally be like, is that me? Like it is, it's weird. Like
I don't know what that's like at all.
Yeah.
I never had that thought.
Yeah. It's weird. Like, I didn't realize how much I looked like my mom, but there's like, it's just certain ones where it's like certain lighting or you can just definitely tell that we're related.
Mm-hmm.
So
I could finally see some features that I share mm-hmm. with my mom and then features that my sister shares with her. So it, even though when you look at us, it's not like they are related. It's like mm-hmm. if you look at our mom, then it's like, oh, I can see how...
Like, they're a family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit. Not a lot.
Yeah.
And then that thing everybody was doing where it's like, you as a baby, and then you as, like, you take a photo of yourself, and then it turns you into looking like a baby or an old person or a woman.
Yeah.
I didn't know I did the baby. One. Yeah. It's very creepy. The baby one is creepy. And then everybody looks better as a woman.
Oh, everybody.
Everybody.
And then also the one where it's like it makes you hot, where it just like basically gives you no wrinkles.
Yeah.
Like makes your eyes like anime-ish.
Yeah. And then there's one where it turns you into a man. And I took the photo and looked almost exactly like my dad.
Really?
It was so fucking weird.
That's crazy. I did the one where it turned me into a man. I looked exactly like my cousin who everybody thinks... If we're just walking around together, they think we're twins.
Well, there you go.
Very similar.
There you go.
It's just...
It did it right.
Both half well-meaning white Midwesterner and half enraged Vietnamese person. it's weird, especially because it's specifically my mom and her brother have a weird relationship where they hate each other.
Uh-huh.
Because they're the same.
Uh-huh.
And they're both common. Like, they're just like, I mean, like, why are they like that? And I'm like, because they're you. You're the same.
And you were raised together. Yeah,
exactly. And everyone else just like knows to like let them fight.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and the another on the Janie is, I like Janie and she's kind of funny. When Reeve drives her out to get a sundae.
Mm-hmm.
And he orders what he always remembered her getting, which is vanilla and a scoop of chocolate mint. And she's like, oh, he doesn't know that now I just like vanilla or whatever the fuck.
Vanilla with butterscotch.
Yes. Oh, you remember?
I remember.
You're like Reeve. So she's thanks. Sitting there. She starts to freak out. The daymare was fading, leaving her flesh like jelly, but no pictures to remember it by. Woman, she thought dimly, stool, dress, hot wind. It must be, thought Janie, that my life is boring. Deep down, I must be as angry over the boredom as Reeve is over being dumb. Oh, yeah, she calls him dumb a couple of
she
times.
She does. Just, and
I guess
extra
that's
mean,
why he's dumb.
Yeah, I mean, it's extra mean, like, in her head.
Yeah.
Because she's just thinking like, to herself. She's yeah, like, he's dumb.
He's pretty dumb. But so he drives like a maniac to feel better, and I fall into maniac daydreams. My parents are my parents. Nobody kidnapped me. I don't really remember the dress. Reeve called to the waitress. Could we have these to go? He pointed at Janie. She doesn't feel well. They'll be messy, said the waitress doubtfully. The top will be on the bottom. Tell me about it, thought Janie.
No, she is really cute. Funny. I also liked the time when she, so she's like, oh, I'm having all these strange visions during the day. And so she looks up. Daydream, and then underneath it says daymare, and she's like, oh shit, that's what that is. And then she's like,
she'd already been using that word.
Yeah. And then she's like, I think a demon is doing this to me. Yeah,
there's a demon.
I loved that.
The demon is doing this.
Baby Janie. There's another thing that's like relatable about Janie, and I feel like many young girls had this phase where the sentence is Janie loved nightwear. And yeah. I was like, yup. I think we were all there. We were like, I think like pajamas are like my new thing.
Like right now, I'm just super into pajamas.
Like I remember like pajama sets being like really cool. Mm-hmm. I remember
she
seeing those on.
She has teddies though.
Dude, I was like
what
ew.
Are you talking about, Janie?
How did her parents buy
was
her
there
those?
A different definition of teddies at the time?
Also, what is a bridal trousseau type gown? We're gonna look that up.
Right, it sounds now. Like a sexy gown that Reeve wants her to wear.
Well, he never sees it.
Yeah, I said wants her to wear.
Okay.
I didn't say he knows about it. He just fantasizes about it.
Interesting. The history of the bridal trousseau. Let's just look at an image. It is okay.
Am I right?
Ew.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought it was.
And so it's like gauzy, long. With
it looks
like
you're wearing a bra and then there is a veil attached
yeah,
to the bra,
that's
like
what
a
it
dress.
Is. And it also has like a sleeve like in it. So like you can put your arm through the skirt.
I don't think that's necessarily standard.
I think that might be a custom look for this one.
Oh, customizable. We used to have a couple fancy nightgowns in a box of costumes we had, like they used to belong to my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
Like all women just used to wear like
yeah.
a beautiful silk
yeah
nightgowns that basically had the same cut as an evening gown.
Yeah.
Where it's like straps
yeah.
and then like lace
yeah
and it's like fitted
yeah,
but I fucking loved wearing those things when we would play dress up.
Yeah, yeah. I got into a phase where I was like, maybe I wear nightgowns now. But then I realized that a lot of modern ones are made out of this like polyester type material that's like
I hate them.
That kind of material.
The print
that,
is cute, but
yeah, but then it also like it's the kind that gets smelly like instantly where you like put it on and then you're like, oh,
ew,
God, I'm stinky.
You put it on there, you're like, oh, I'm smelly.
I think I'm stinky.
Am I very stinky and smelly right now?
Is it just me or am I really stinky and smelly right now?
Like, instantly.
Yeah.
There aren't enough TV shows and movies that show what women actually wear to bed. I'm assuming everybody is like me, where it's like pajama pants and then an old t-shirt.
Yeah, I mean, right? I usually
do. Am I crazy? Am I doing this wrong?
No. Well, a lot of people also will do, like, for me, if it's really hot, I'll just do like underwear and a t-shirt. Some people like to sleep naked. I personally don't because I feel like I sweat more. Like if I wear.
I do too.
If I wear clothes, I it absorbs it.
Yeah, like women who are just like, I just wear a shirt to bed.
Yeah.
And underwear, and I'm super cute.
If I do just underwear and a shirt.
My legs are so sweaty. I feel disgusting. Am I stinky right now?
Am I stinky right now? I do a thing, and I think it solves the issue of the sweatiness in the legs.
Yes.
Which is I sleep with a pillow between my knees on my side. So it's like they're not even really touching.
Yeah.
But if my legs are touching, that is...
It's really uncomfortable.
A straight up nightmare. Also, like, and I think we've touched on this on the show, but I think
we do talk about jammies.
We talk about gym jams. We talk about nudity. We talk about clothes. We talk about sleeping.
Talk about lying in fear and just feeling waves of fear overtake you. And sinister figures at the end of your bed.
So, in that vein, I think I am now officially a woman.
Congrats.
Within the past like 2 years, because I'm like, fuck thongs. Like, I don't need to wear that shit anymore. Like,
I said fuck that before ever wearing them. Well, I was like, are you fucking kidding me? You want me to put that on and just go about my day as though that's not happening every goddamn second of my life?
So it is weird because like there are occasions, fine, where I will wear them. Because I have to, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I remember in high school, the thought that someone could see my panty line was like, I would rather fucking die. I would rather die than someone know that I'm wearing underwear. But mostly because my mom refused to let me wear anything other than like really just saggy granny panties.
So there was no in between.
No, there was no in between for me.
Okay.
Now I'm more of a boy short girl. Or I'll wear like a boy cut brief thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'll do bikinis sometimes.
Yeah, I do the hip.
Oh, hip huggers. Like those too.
It's starting to cut into me now though.
But so on occasion, I will wear a thong. And I think I've talked about that. Maybe on this show, maybe it was on How Mouthy.
It does not sound familiar to me.
Okay.
So I'll say
I was talking about this with my friend Lydia. Uh-huh. And we were saying the ultimate nightmare. Ultimate nightmare is you go out on the town, you're like, I'm gonna wear a thong, and you fall asleep in it. And taking that thing off the next day, are you kidding me? I'm sorry, but that's part of my body now. I can't. It's not.
Like, well, that doesn't quite make sense because don't you wear tampons to bed? It's basically the same thing.
Okay, here's my issue.
I don't know how you could not know you were wearing that thong. It's so uncomfortable.
You know, but let's say you're drunk.
Okay.
And you fall asleep. And then you wake up and you are like, oh, no.
You're like, oh, no, I've been sliced in half.
Oh, no.
Wake up, all of a sudden, your left side is in the chair over there because you got sliced in half.
Leg's over there, one leg's over there, and your torso split up the middle.
Oh, boy. Shouldn't have drank so much. Well, now I'm dead.
It was just, and this is going to get, and I apologize to Engineer Brett right now.
It's like, hey, we'd love to join
you guys.
Your podcast network.
The worst. Okay, this is the worst. All right, are you guys ready? If you take off the thong after sleeping in it and it touches the inside of your leg as you take it off, it is like, this is hell. This is fucking hell.
Okay, you want to know what hell is? Yourself. Strap in, Brett.
Buckle your seatbelt.
Just, here we go. So. I'm sorry, but our listeners have to know.
They have to know why I don't wear thongs.
So one time.
Oh no. No, tell me.
So I I pull out a tampon.
Sure.
It in turn pulls out an additional tampon.
Lindsay!
So as I'm pulling out the tampon,
no,
another tampon follows.
This is hell.
I was like, I thought I was dying.
What?
What happened? Your mother of tampons.
What happened? How did I not know? They were both there.
Which means I had one and then I put in another.
Okay. Here, I'm going to tell you one that will make you feel a little better.
Okay, let's do this.
This is really embarrassing. And I've told this to Micah and he was like, something's wrong with you. Okay. So I'm very paranoid. Uh-huh. And so one day I was on my period and right. I was like, I don't feel very good. My lower back hurts. I probably have toxic shock syndrome.
Sure.
So I was like, So I was like, I should go to the doctor. So I look up what to do, and it says to take out your tampon and put it in a little Ziploc bag and bring it with you to the doctor. So I took out my tampon and I like dutifully put it in this little Ziploc bag and I put it in my purse and I go to the doctor and I tell my doctor like, I I don't feel good and my back hurts and I'm on my period. I'm afraid I have toxic shock syndrome. And the doctor's like, okay, well, do you have a fever? And I was like, no. And they're like, okay. And they're like, are you like, how sick do you feel? I was like, I have a cough. And they're like, okay, well, that's not really. And like the whole time I'm just thinking like, there's a fucking tampon in my purse. And then they're like, all right, well, do you have anything else for me? And in my head, it's like, tampon.
I have a tampon for you. Please. I'm going to make you take it because otherwise this was for naught.
But I left with my tampon. I was like, no, thank you.
There is no overstating how horrible it is to be a woman.
It's horrible.
There's no overstating.
It's really horrible.
It's fucking awful. It's disgusting. We're disgusting.
Okay.
And somehow we got the reputation of not being disgusting.
No.
But there is the most disgusting shit happening all the time in our bodies.
Speaking of which, can I get your opinion on something?
I'd love to.
Okay. So I was at dinner with a friend once. Uh-huh. I will not name this person. At dinner with a friend. And this person said like, I forgot what exactly the context was, but she was like, oh, well, you know, like, she's like, it must have just been that I was like taking out and putting the same tampon back.
I'm sorry. What?
And,
what? No, that's not. No, so, you no, would know if you were so, doing that.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm sorry. Continue.
So I was like, so she says that and I was like, oh, what? And she's like, you know, like when you take out your tampon, you put it back in. And oh I was like, what? Why? And she was like, oh, well, because, you know, if you go pee, it'll fill it up.
I was like, oh, no.
I was like, well, you know, like your bladder is different than like your vagina. And she was like, no, like. And I was like, wait, so how do you put it back in? Like this soggy fucking tampon, how do you put it back in? And she's like, well, you just kind of jam it up there with your hand. And I was like, girl, what?
And that is how you in turn get toxic shock syndrome.
And then it was like in a movie where like all these past things that she had said were like zing, they like came up and I was like, holy shit.
Everything adds up.
Because she was like, this is so fucked up. And I'm definitely not even. She was like, I remember her saying one time, and this is so problematic on many levels, but she's like, I could never be a lesbian because vaginas just smell so bad.
That's
because yours is bad. It's because you have a sick vagina. But then also I was like, I think a big reason why you're not a lesbian is that you're not attracted to women.
Sign one that you're not a lesbian. I don't wish to have sex with women.
And really, any woman of any sexual orientation.
I treat my vagina very badly. And I don't know. It's not normal. And I think that all vaginas are like this. And I want nothing to do with mine. So I want nothing to do with yours.
So it was like all those memories started coming up. And then one time she was like, she had said something like, ew, like, I don't ever want to
start everything with ew.
Kinda. So she was like, ew, like, I don't like using public bathrooms because like everyone's putting their period hands all over everything. And I was like, period hands? What the fuck are you talking about? Like, my hands don't get like super like coated in blood every time. My period, but now I'm fucking
now you
thinking
know.
If you're jamming your fucking fingers up to shove a
so now
fucking wet
I
sock of your
thinking
vagina
about all these period hands in the women's restroom.
Yeah, she can't be the only like person.
No.
Okay, I'm so glad that you're as horrified as I was, because she did not.
What if you told me and I was like, right?
Then I would.
And
like,
it turns out you're the only one letting her tampon get soaked with pee.
That like she thinks that if she goes pee with the tampon in, it becomes filled with pee and just like plops out of her body.
Oh no.
Listen, educate your children about sexual health is what I think we're trying to say. Remember when you said that we really slowed things down?
Yeah, I said we fizzled. We didn't.
We didn't.
Or this is what happens when you push through.
When you push through, you talk about nightmare vaginas.
Maybe in the future, we can talk about how you have to, like, really be careful about where the string goes.
Oh, God. Because if it goes back, it should not go forward.
Like, you have to be careful.
In a dream world.
Be careful.
In a dream world, it just hangs down like a tail. But we don't live in that world.
No. It becomes its own thong.
No.
And it
it is.
It can't. It has to be a forward thong.
No, it becomes.
I hate being a woman.
It becomes a rogue thong. It's not attached to your sides. It's just.
Look, this is a there. PSA for any men who listen to this podcast who probably don't anymore.
Seriously. But that's what it is. It's life.
So on top. So actually, oh, this is really helpful. The next time you go to hit on a woman. Just imagine she has just gone to the restroom and just reinserted the tampon and didn't place the string well when she was wiping.
Well, who,
and then didn't wash her hands.
Oh my God, because if you don't place the string well when you're wiping, it wipes you. It wipes you. But then it stays.
We have never talked about this with another human
no,
being.
No, I've never
put it in the problem.
No,
we all had to just find this out.
Like, where?
It was like, all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute. Oh, really?
No, it's like,
that's how it goes for every single woman.
That, seriously, that
wait a
string
minute.
Situation
ugh,
was something,
really?
Was just a private hell that each of us has just, like, dealt
we
with.
We all walk around.
We all walk around.
With the knowledge that if you're on your period and you go to the bathroom, you're like, oh, God damn it.
Yeah. What's going to happen with this string?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
my period is starting soon.
No, I just finished mine.
Oh,
yeah. Mm. That's fun.
Yep.
Yeah. I had to go get my birth control, and I just started new insurance, and I'm a little bit annoyed that they make me go pick it up once a month.
That is annoying.
Because my old...
It used to be 3 months.
Well, and if you get a specific one from Planned Parenthood, you can pick up a year.
What?
Mm-hmm. And that's convenient. Why we should support Planned Parenthood.
Yep. For,
that's
for
that
why.
Only.
That's why.
Because you can get your stuff for a year.
You can get it for a year.
Yeah. Well,
so Janie, how
we can bring it back. We can bring it back. How are we going to do it? How are we going to do it?
Janie, Reeve is never thinking of Janie's periods.
Oh, if he can't think about the fact that she was kidnapped, he's not thinking about her fucking periods.
Do you think they're going to make it?
I think, are you asking me?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I think that there's going to be a rough patch where he has to kind of go through what he has to go through,
mm-hmm.
And learn that like everybody lives their own truth. Everyone lives their own life. So I think there's roughness ahead, but he is going to come out ahead.
I don't totally remember the second book, so this is still a guess. I theorize that Reeve is the hero of the second book because he stands by Janie.
I like that. I'll buy that.
I hope. But I bet there's a competitor.
Competitor boy.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah. So what's Janie going to do with that?
I don't
know. We'll find out.
We will find out.
Mm-hmm. I bought The Voice on the Radio. Pardon. Voice on the Radio is not mine. Not that great. So I bought The Voice on the Radio from a used bookstore just because it was there.
Mm-hmm.
So I have that one and I don't have the other one in the middle. Yet.
Whatever happened to Janie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I did read a preview of The Voice on the Radio in this. Mm. And then I went, I'm going to stop reading. This is too much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because it starts with Reeve.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Shit. So that motherfucker stays around for a while.
We'll see.
We'll see. All right. Cool. Do we want to...
Voicemails?
The last thing I looked up was lingerie. Voicemails? Let's listen to some voicemails.
Our 18 Crabs caller left a very short message.
Let's try it out. 18 Crabs.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Team Creeps. This is Alex, a longtime listener. I'm just leaving my message. Wait, never mind. I'm in a car and I realize that the sound is probably all messed up. Bye.
I don't know what happened.
Alex. Did Alex ever call back?
I don't.
18 Crabs.
Let me see. Wait.
You know what? Never mind. I just realized the sound was all messed up.
Oh, good. Oh, he was the very next caller.
Okay, good. 18 Crabs, part two.
I couldn't tell because he didn't say his name up top again.
Mm.
And whereas the other one, the transcript said 18 Crabs.
Yeah. We didn't know it was 18 Crabs again.
He is also King Creeps.
Oh, King Creeps and 18 Crabs? We talked about
both of them on the last episode. And sure enough, he's both. Okay. So now Alex again. I think. We'll see.
Let's take a list.
Hi, I'm calling for Teen Creeps.
Speaking.
This number is still working. Anyway,
I think it's him, right?
Book-related embarrassing teen combination for you. Loving the podcast, by the way.
It's
inspiring me to reread a ton of these things. You were talking about I can't remember which book you were reading or discussing when talking about this. But you were talking about a moment where there's a girl putting. Oh, it was in the sorority one with the girl that's going crazy.
Oh, Twisted.
Anyway, you were talking about this memory of a girl putting on lipstick and there being a needle in it and then cutting
the
lip.
Yeah.
That is not from a movie that I can remember, but it is from a Fear Street book called Silent Night.
Yes.
Where the red-haired bitch girl, she like works at the perfume counter.
Mm.
And somebody's like pissed off at her and puts a needle in her lipstick. And
that's what happens when you're a bitch.
My embarrassing story, which is I was reading that Fear Street book like in the living room as a child. I don't know, I was in like sixth or seventh grade or something. And then there was like this big twist where it turns out that this like one character turns out to be this other person that like was meant, and I'm sure now is probably completely obvious. I remember like screaming out this twist, like just this visceral reaction that Foxy is Rob.
Spoiler.
My sister and my mom were also in the living room at the time and like looked up wondering what the fuck I was talking about. And I was like, you know, my eyes were the size of dinner plates with like this shocking revelation, and they both just started laughing at me.
Oh.
It was so over the top, my response to this book. End of the day, like when there's a twist in any sort of media, we will refer to that as like Foxy being Rob. I said it the other day. I had a customer that just said that. And we all
I
want
to start saying that now.
Yeah, we'll start saying that.
R.L. Stein, Teen Creep related, embarrassing memory. And I think I got you with that, the lipstick with the needle. But keep doing these. I'm loving them. And I really recommend Trick or Treat by Richie Tankersley with Cusick. I remember really liking that one. And I thought it was fun and pretty scary.
Would love to read more Richie.
Mm-hmm.
But hell yeah, I agree with y'all on the Spellbound too. That was my first Christopher Pike
book. Fuck yes.
Yeah. I love it. And now I want to make a bunch of people that I'm friends with now read it.
Do it.
Yay.
So can't wait to listen to the next one. Take care. Happy holidays. Bye.
Yay. Bye.
Happy belated holidays to you, who I think is Alex.
It may be Alex. It may not be Alex. But
it kind of sounded like Alex.
It could be. It's because calmer.
He
cut off.
He was like, oh, I realized something. And then he called back.
Like, I realized the sound is going to be bad. Because I think he was in the car.
Oh.
But I don't know if that's him. Can you play back the first one?
All right, let's try.
Can we hear that again?
Mm-hmm. Let's take it again.
Enhance.
Hey, Teen Creeps. This is Alex, a longtime listener.
No, it sounds different.
I'm just leaving my message.
Oh, no. Right?
Wait, never mind. I'm in a car and I realize that the sound is probably all messed up. Bye.
No, it sounds different.
No. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was Alex. Alex, settle a bet for us.
Yeah. I think it wasn't.
Tell us if it was
okay,
you.
Okay, so do we think...
Okay.
So 18 Crabs is Alex.
I believe so. And King
you
Creeps.
You think King Creeps is Alex. I think King Creeps is somebody else.
Let's check again. Did he say his name?
No.
I'm calling for...
Teen Creeps. Remember?
Okay, I'm calling for King Creeps.
Yeah.
Don't know if this number is still working. Anyway, I do have a book. Yeah. I think it's Alex.
Okay.
My theory, Alex.
Lindsay is team, it's Alex.
I'm team, it's Alex.
I'm team, it's not Alex.
Foxy is Rob. They're the same.
Oh my God. Twist. Awesome. Guys, we love hearing these.
Yeah, thank you for calling.
Seriously.
Regardless of whether you were the same person or not. Really enjoy the messages always.
Yeah.
So next week we're coming back with, oh my God, we're coming back with Christopher Pike's
Yay!
The Starlight Crystal, which
fucking
is the book
shit.
That we bonded over and the reason this podcast exists. So we're finally getting back to see Pike. And I'm really looking forward to rereading that book. I have been very disciplined. A lot of self-discipline in not rereading it before now, even though I really wanted to.
Yeah, that book was... That book like
blew my mind.
Me. Yeah. Like storytelling-wise, like everything.
I wonder if it will hold up as what I think. I think I've said it's like Christopher Pike's Siddhartha.
Oh, holy shit. We'll see if it holds up.
Well, because it spans time and she learns a lot of it. So we'll see if... I'm right.
We'll see.
Maybe I should read Siddhartha first. Maybe I don't remember what that book
read
is
that
like.
Again.
Okay. I'll let everyone know.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks so much for your calls. And
thanks
thank
so
you
much
guys
for your hashtag all caps Vera designs.
Yes.
Keep sending those.
Yeah.
Contest
we love
is open until
them.
February. Just send us any kind of design whatsoever, however you want to interpret hashtag all caps Vera.
Yeah.
If you don't know what we're talking about, go listen to the My Sweet Audrina episode, learn about the majesty of Vera, and then you will be better informed about what you should design.
I also wanted to say that the outpouring of support that everybody has, like our listeners, super awesome.
We're blown away.
And like, it is just so touching to know that like a community of such cool, awesome, like nice, I know I'm doing like really like beige terms, but like just like people that know like that.
People who were like on the same page as us when it came to our statement and showed so much support online and on Patreon.
Yeah.
We really appreciate it. We're very like, it just felt like a big old hug.
It really did.
It just like everything. It was just like very validating and warm. And when I say validating, I don't mean like ego-wise, but like validating our choice to make a statement about Justin because we really weren't sure what the right thing to do was.
Yeah. So just,
so you thank you for letting us know how you felt.
It is very, very appreciated. And it made us feel, I don't know. I feel like a big thing that people feel a lot lately is alone. And I felt like it made us feel like we're part of a really cool community.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
Thank you guys. I guess that's the last bit of biz.
Yeah,
bit of biz.
It's the last bit of biz.
So yeah, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Keep it creepy. Thanks for listening to Teen Creeps. Our artwork is by James Mulholland. Our theme music is by Mike Carlson.
Find the show on Twitter and Instagram at teencreepspod. Shoot us an email at teencreepspod@gmail.com. And please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
And to share your teen and at work creep-related stories, you can leave us a message now at 747-333-6995. For our reading schedule, go to teencreepspod.com. Thanks for listening, and keep it creepy.